morning I was zeichet to be there by the bris of a great grandson, and when the brachas were being said, Asher Kiddush Yedid Mibetan V'chok B'she'ero Sam, suddenly occurred to me that it was the right week to make a bris. We have chukas, so V'davar Hashem and Moshe V'Aaron Leima Zois Chukas HaToyro Asher Tziva Hashem Leima Kru So it's the chukas ha-toira. So the bris mila, which is v'chok b'she'ero som, chok chukam, there may be small differences between the mashmos of the words, but essentially, of course, the nature of chok and chukam is the same. Avsham Shmuel Hirsch translates it as a fundamental principle, something that lies at the very center of Judaism, is called a chayk. How that works with the etymology, we don't have to go into now, but the fact is that there's something very, very significant happening. Certainly by Bris Mila, there's something very significant happening. Chayk b'she'eiro som, the Rebbeinu Shem put a shakidush medid, yedid mi beten. From beten, there's a kedusha, v'chayk b'she'eiro som, and on his flesh, the Rebbeinu Shem places a chayk. Places a basic fundamental principle, and that's also the chayk of the Poro Aduma, that there's something very, very fundamental about the Poro Aduma. So what might that be? Now, of course, that in Chukas we have this mysterious gap of 38 years, and it is really a big mystery. We know absolutely nothing of what happened during those years. In Korach, one assumes that Korach still happened right after the Meraglim, so Shlach Lecho, Korach, so, and then suddenly Chukas after Poradoma starts with the Misa of Miriam, which is in the 40th year. So from year number 2 to year number 40, we have absolute silence. There's nothing happening. At least, there's nothing happening which the Torah finds it necessary to record. So what happened during those 38 years? We don't know. It doesn't say anywhere. Maybe in Sforim there is something about it, but I wouldn't know about it. But as far as the Chumash is concerned, best of my knowledge, there's nothing there about what happened during those 38 years. So we do know one thing that happened, Chazal tell us, and that is that these 38 years were years of death, years of dying. Chazal tell us that every year on Tisha B'Av they made the Kvorim, everybody lay in the Kvorim, and the ones who didn't get up the next day were the ones who were going to be dying, or who died at that point. And during those 38 years, all those people who, because of the Chet of the Meraglim and the Chet of Korach and so on, were destined not to enter Eretz Yisrael, they died during those 38 years. So that is what we do know. What exactly the nature is of such a life which has as its center the digging of one's own grave and subsequently dying, don't know exactly how to deal with that. But it does tell me that there is a big logic in the Parsha of Poro Aduma coming exactly over here. Because it doesn't say in the Torah, now again, it may be it's a Mefurash Gemara someplace, if yes, I don't know it, that when the Parsha of Poro Aduma was it said at the end of the second year, and so it still belonged to before the gap, or was it said afterwards? I don't know of any remez for that. I'll call upon him, but looking at the Torah as a cohesive whole, so it makes a lot of sense, I think, to have the Parsha of the Poro Aduma over here immediately before the gap of the 38 years, the dying years, we could call them, because if this was going to be the destiny of Klal Yisrael, that now they were going to spend 38 years of dying, then to get a shear on the what exactly lies at the bottom of death is very, very, very important. And that is a sugya of the Poradoma. It must be a sugya of the Poradoma. It's a choik. Till now we touched choik as a fundamental principle, but it's also a choik. Chazal tell us that the mitzvahs concerning which we don't know the reasons are called chukim, and certainly by the Poradoma, Chazal said, Shlomo HaMelech said, Erchem over here, choikom imene. I don't understand it. Chopnisht arois was tutzach with the Poradoma. So it's really a chunk of mystery of what's going on there, and we don't have to go into the protim now of what the difficulties are. It's strange. So what exactly is being taught us by the Torah Duma and its function of being there to be Mataya people who became Tumei Mesim? So it's such a strange series of halachas. For example, I mean, all these binyonim which they made, the kifim, to make sure that nothing becomes tomeh, and afa became before the koyan and did the burning and so on of the poradoma, they were metameh them. There should be twil yoimes, because Chazal said that twil yoim is kosher. And not only is he kosher, and that's very strange, because if you're trying to be merachek from tumah so much, so you go dafka ahead and ametame them so that there should only be a tvul yom. Very, very strange. What's going on there? And there are lots of dinim which are strange. I'm just reading at random from the Rambam in Porah Duma Perek Aleph. Af koin hed yud kosher lesreifas haporah. So Elozer was only a kohen hedyot. So this was made by Elozer and could be done, but be'etzem apor adom could be done by either kohen godl or kohen hedyot. But vo'oyser loyvesh aba kelim shel kohen hedyot. Bencha also coin hedyot, bencha also coin godel. It's unbelievable that even though it's kosher by coin godel, but it's not done in the begodim of the coin godel. He only wears the big day hedyot, the four begodim of the hedyot. So what's going on there? That even the coin godel is somehow downgraded to the begodim, to the four begodim of the coin hedyot. What's going on? But the sequence in the Torah, the fact that here between Korach and the Misa of Miriam, you have Chukas, which is the dinim of the Porah Duma, makes sense. Because the Yidden needed to have a sense of what happens with death. What is the nature? How does the Torah look upon death and the Tumas Meis? What is going on there? I think that we don't know any reasons for the Porah Duma. Afal Tikein, although we don't know any reasons for the Porah Duma, it seems to me that there is a remez. Now, whether that's what Chazal had in mind, what the Rabban Shem had in mind, I really have no idea. I'll share with you what I think, and if you agree, then it'll be useful to you. If you don't agree, so you can just ignore it. But let me tell you what I think is going on over here. We all know that the Porah Duma, that the Sreif of the Porah Duma and the Zrikas which were made, were all outside the Harabais. It was not in the Machane Shechina, it was not even in the Machane Levir. The Hara Mishra was there, and that's where the avoiders of the Porah took place. And the Zrika was done towards the Kodesh Kodashim, but a big, big distance away from the Kodesh Kodashim. It wasn't like the other Kobonas where the Zrikas was made on the Mizbeach, or later on Yom Kippur, certain Zrikas, and wherever they were made, inside the Kodesh. This was altogether outside, even the Machane Levir. And it's not a really a korban. It's because the value of the poradoma is better kabayas. It's not a korban. So what is it? And it's got these chumras the same chumras which many korbanos have, that mumen pasel and all kinds of things pasel, and even more pasels by poradoma than by regular korbanos, because here avoider pasels the poradoma, that if you did work with it, so it also becomes pasel. It seems to me that depending how we understand the dinim of Tumah and Tahara altogether, we can maybe have some halach in what's happening with the Poradoma. And that's as follows. Why are we Tomei when we come into contact with a mace? Why are we Tomei by even a more homodika Tumah in certain ways? The Tumah Sayyachas Migufan, Zov, Zov, Nidhi, Yoldas. Why are these things matame? So Rav Shlomo Hirsch has a mahalach which I don't know whether everybody would agree to what he says, but to me it makes a great deal of sense that these things that bring about tumah, like dying or the tumah sayachis migufan, I think we talked about that in earlier shiurim, they are all instances in which physicality seems to win out. When a person dies, so the neshama, which is the ruchnius in the body, disappears, goes away. And all that's left is the body. Pure physicality. Absolutely pure physicality. Really like Adam HaRishon was before Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chayim. So you're faced with pure physicality. All the tumas hayotzes migufan, zov zov nidiv yildos, is also where we are out of control. The things that happen to our bodies happen because the bodies simply take over. You can't stop it. A person who's a nidder can't stop being a nidder. So the body functions independently of my decision. Zov zov, the same thing. Tumas hayotzes migufan. So Rav Shantel here sees tumah or hears tumah as a state of mind, really, of which is bound to overtake us when we come into contact with the victory of the physical over the spiritual. All these cases of becoming tumah are situations in which the physical seems to take over. And that can have a terrible effect on a person, because then a person can conclude and say, well, really the only thing that really counts is the physical, because you see that the physical is stronger than the spiritual. People die, people's bodies act in certain ways and don't consult the spiritual aspects of the person. So that is why you become Tomei. That means you have to stay away from the Beis HaMikdash. That means that under the impression which you're suffering from Ke'ilu, that you're sort of convinced or somehow bullied into thinking of the ascendancy of the physical, so there you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash until you have gone through a process of Tara. Mikvah would be Moira de Gazak to be able to talk a little bit about mikveh, what a wonderful mikveh is, and why that this losing yourself ki'ilu in the Ribbono Shel'olam's world. So Moira de Gazak, what's with the Pora Adoma by Tumas Mes? So I think that in the context of this kind of psychological approach to the harm that tumah does us at the psychological level, where we're suddenly convinced of the ascendancy of the physical, may be a process which shows us that even the physical is not hopelessly distanced from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That itself can be the refuah. Getting back for a moment to the Bris Mila from this morning. V'chok v'she'er osam, that the Rebbeinu Shlom marked even the she'era, the flesh, the body of the body, with a mark of his covenant. And he's saying that even the purely physical aspect of the person, incidentally the Mokom, where ultimately there will be a situation where the is a tumah yotze migufa, which does not consult the spiritual decision. So, and there the Rebbeinu Shlom puts his covenant. There's a chok, there's a something which carries a fundamental message in Judaism, and that fundamental message in Judaism is that the physical is also redeemable. That's a moir de gezach. This idea of the bris, Nebuchadnezzar, Klal Yisrael is a big es tzorah now, and all these crazy people are trying to outlaw bris milas in certain cities here in America. It's a terrible matzav. I mean, God forbid that anything should ever happen. But the vort is, they understand how fundamental bris is to the emes, and they don't like the emes. They don't like the emes that the guf itself can also be kodesh, that the guf itself can carry the mark of the Rebbeinu Shlom's covenant. That's a meirat gezach, because that's a big mechayev. So that's as far as the bris is concerned. And the same thing, I think, could also be said at as being the mahalach of the tara from the tumas meis. That means a person has been exposed to the ultimate victory of physicality. It's not like the tumas hayotzes migufan, where sof kol sof we're still alive and we can work on ourselves and we can try and better ourselves. And I mean, there's a whole program that we can still undertake. Oh, but Misa is that's it. It's gone. So you're left with only the physical. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, you know how I'm going to get you out of those doldrums. You know how I'm going to get you out of that matzav of ki'ilu of years, which this exposure to the Misa has sort of shackled you with that. And you say, oi, what's the point of all the spirituality with which I'm oisik, with my semitzus, with brochus, with tfilus, with all the things that we do? So what's it all about? What's it going to give me if ultimately everything is in the hands of the physical? And the Rebbeinu Shlom said, you know what cures you from this? Oi, zois chukas hatayro. Can you imagine? And it's not in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the beauty of it. The beauty of it is that it's dafka not in the Beis HaMikdash. Not only is it not in the Beis HaMikdash, it's even outside the Machane Levir. And there, the process of Tara takes place. That's a magde gezach. That there, the process of Tara takes place. What process of Tara? The process of Tara, which says that you're not subject to the physical, ultimately. There's always. And that would explain the shaila which I asked, with which we started the shiur today, that why should it be that the parsha of Porah Aduma is directly the introduction to the 38 year gap to the dying years, ke'ilu? So the word of that is, because if you're going to have dying years, you'd better know what dying is all about. I want to finish the shiur. I want to read to you, I hope, I was Isaac in writing a book recently, and I hope it's going to be coming out soon in a few weeks. And one of the things that I discussed, it's, the book is devoted to trying to show that if we knew a little better what we're doing when we're doing it, our whole Yiddishkeit would be improved somewhat. And one of the things that I dealt with was the broch of Elakai, Neshama Shnasata Bi Tehoirohi. I tried to analyze what that brocha is all about. The first question which I asked, and of course which everybody ought to ask, and I suspect that none of us do ask much of the time, is what's so important about Tehoirohi? What does it mean that the neshama is Tehoirohi? First of all, what does it mean? And second of all, why is that important in that brocha? What's this whole brocha about? How many of us, excluding myself just now, because I've been working on this for weeks, so I have an idea of what this brocha is trying to say. But certainly before I started working on it, I didn't have a clue. And I suspect that many of you, if you're listening, also don't have so much of a clue. If you were asked, say in what, two sentences what this brocha is about, it's not so easy. So what is the taka all about? So I'll tell you what I think it is about. The Gemara says, that the five Bochi Nafshis in Tehillim, David HaMelech said five times Bochi Nafshi. So Gemara says Keneged me. So Gemara says Keneged the Neshama, that the Neshama has five faculties which are similar to the Rebbei Nishlam. The Rebbei Nishlam is Roye Ve'ena Nere, the Neshama is Roye Ve'ena Nere. The Rebbei Nishlam fills up the whole world, the Neshama fills up the whole Guf, and so on and so on. These are all sort of theoretical kind of things which don't mean very much to us, at least it doesn't mean very much to me. But one of the five is that the Rebbei Nishlam is Toher, and David HaMelech is Toher. So Chazal say, since we share these five faculties with the Rebbei Nishlam, so let somebody come who has the five faculties which the Rebbei Nishlam has, and let him sing Shiva to the Rebbei Nishlam. I think that when we say Lakai, Neshama Shinasata be Tehoirahi, that's really what we're getting to. We're saying to the Rebbei Nishlam like this, you know, the fact that our Neshama is Tehoira, that's an unbelievable chiddush. Because the Neshama, the Rebbei Nishlam is Tehoira because he's separate from everything physical. But the Neshama lives right inside our Guf. So how can the Neshama, when it's Mechuba to a Guf, which is very far from being Tehoira, so how can the Taka maintain its Tara? Let me read to you how I translated this Elokai Neshama Shnosah to be Tehoirohi. I don't know what's beeping over here. So how do we translate that? So I'll read to you how I translate this bracha, and maybe it'll be meaningful to you. Elokai Neshama Shnosah to be Tehoirohi. It's Tohar, and therefore none of the five necessary faculties are missing. That we have the other four faculties which the Rebbei Nishlam has, that's not such a chiddush. But we would have thought that it's not Tohar, because it's Mechuba to a Guf. Well, I got news for you. It is Tohar. It's Elokai. Neshama Shnosah to be Tohar, in spite of the fact that it's living in a physical Guf. How is that taka possible? This is possible, although the soul in certain ways joined to my physical body, because you custom designed it so that in spite of being joined to the body, it should retain its purity. Borosa, Ramban says, Boro is always Yesh Me'ayin. The Rebbei Nishlam reached into the infinity of the void and created my personal neshama. Ata Yotzata, you formed it. You worked it such that it should be mat'im to dafka me and nobody else. And then you blew it into me. You custom designed it so that in spite of being joined to the body, it should retain its purity. And moreover, there's a moyerige chibur between me and that neshama. Vato meshamra bekevi. The neshama would love to leave my body. I'm a lousy body to be captured in. This whole chazal about how the neshama Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Rebbei Nishlam said, it's time for you to leave Moshe Rabbeinu, the neshama didn't want to. He said, what toyotic place is there in the world like the goof of Moshe Rabbeinu? But others of us are not like that. So who says that the neshama wants to be by me? But the Rebbei Nishlam says, you can't leave. V'ata meshamra bekirbi. You put up sentries and you don't let the neshama escape. And moreover, v'ata osed litlo mimene, ulacha ziro bile osed lobay. You made it a permanent part of my personality by ensuring that it would not be able to escape, and by guaranteeing that even after my death it will be tied to me because it is destined to be returned to me. It means after the neshama leaves me after 120 years, so the neshama, you can hear it sort of breathing a sigh of relief, I finally got rid of this guy. And the Rebbei Nishlam says, no, you're going to be put on the shelf, and if he's zeichel to Tchias HaMesim, you will be returned to this person. So it turns out that this is who I am. I am a pure soul, joined, it is true, to a physical body, but nonetheless for that maintaining my primeval purity. When David HaMelech exhorted me, Bochi Nafshi, to sing God's praises, he knew what he was doing. Being pure and therefore equipped with all the necessary five faculties, I am indeed worthy of singing God's songs of glory to the Ribbono Shel'olam. And therefore, Kol Zman Shanshama Bekirbi, Moide Ani Lefanecha. Wow, what a bracha. Right? This bracha is an excuse. And I'm saying to the Rebbeinu Shalom, I'm soon going to start Psukkah the Zimra. Who? Moshe Eisenman, Rachmana Litzlan. He's the guy who's going to sing Tehillos to the Rebbeinu Shalom. Ma petam. Yeah. I may be who I am, but the neshama inside me remains Torah. And that's why it's so important that our sleep is not like the sleep of the Goyim. Our sleep, the Neshama goes up and the Rebbeinu Neshama fixes it up. Every day this should have a new beginning. This is a meiridige, meiridige, meiridige bracha. Kommt doch aus, that what defines the human being, what defines the human being is the fact that he is inextricably bound to his Neshama. This Neshama, which is pure, like the Rebbeinu Shalom Kviyochel is pure, that is part of my personality, that is who I am. And therefore, even the absolute physicality of which I am a victim, certainly after my Neshama leaves, but the Neshama is going to be coming back. So it's still sitting there waiting for me. So Mimela, there's Tara. That tumor, which is caused by the exposure to the absolute physicality of the body after the neshama has gone, and therefore the apparent mastery of the neshama, is not without hope, because the neshama is there, and it's waiting in the wings, and it's going to come back to us, and that is the poraduma, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us, look, you're going to be dealing with death now for 38 years, and in a very large sense, it's going to be your entire focus during those terrible, terrible, terrible years. But you know what? It's true that you experience, when you experience death with somebody outside yourself, and you see a person who's dead, so you do see an apparent victory of the physical over the spiritual. But you should know that the way the Ribbono Shel Olam made things, he did not allow an absolute physicality once he has assigned an neshama to us. And that is why, even though my guf may be nothing to be proud of, but it's got this neshama element, and therefore, kol zman shehaneshama bekirbi, moide ani lefanecha. Since we established that the neshama remains tohoira, mimele I can be a meshoira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And mimele, even after the person has died, there is tara for the people who were exposed to him. And the Ribbono Shel Olam teaches that by saying that the shoirish of the tara is not in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have to take this paraduma and make it in the Kodesh Kadosh, not even in the Hechel, not even in the Azorah, not even in the Machane Leviya. Out, no Machane Yisrael. That's where the Tara is going to come from, because the non Kodeshika place can be a source for Tara, just like the non Kodeshika Guf can be used to be Mahalel and Meshabeach with Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, it's no wonder Rav Shamsu Hillel, as far as I know, doesn't enter so much into the protein of the Paradum, although he has Mahalach there. But I think that the way he understands Chayk, that Chayk is a fundamental principle of Judaism. So Zois Chukas HaTorah Paraduma V'Chok B'She'eiro Sam. And by Bris Milah, which Ribbono Shel Olam zeichel me to attend this morning, it's the same message, that the physicality is never absolute. There's also the neshama or its equivalent, able and willing to recreate Tara, and to be able through that mehalach to be meshaveach the Rebbeinu Shalom.